And always streaming on the Civic Media.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President Biden has pardoned 39 people and commuted the sentences of 1,500 others, the most in a single day by any president in modern American history.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre describes the action as a milestone.
The president has issued more sentence commutations at this point in his presidency than any of his recent predecessors.
Jean-Pierre says the list includes people released from prison and placed on home confinement during COVID, committed nonviolent crimes, and turned their lives around.
A decorated military veteran, a nurse who has led response for a number of natural disasters.
More pardons are expected. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Administration officials are now in the Middle East for talks on Syria and a ceasefire in Gaza. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan is in Israel, where he says a deal on ending the fighting in Gaza could be very near.
I believe that every day brings increasing risk, which is why there's such urgency to try to get this deal.
The Biden administration is working to bring home an American citizen sprung from a prison in Syria after the Assad regime fell. Travis Timmerman is from Missouri. CBS's Ian Lee has his story.
He said he'd spent the last 7 months in one of the country's notorious prisons.
It wasn't bad. I was never beaten. The only really bad part was that I couldn't go to the bathroom when I wanted to.
Timmerman says he was detained after entering the country illegally on a Christian pilgrimage. After rebels overthrew the Assad government, local men broke down the prison doors.
The man police believe killed a healthcare company CEO is in jail in Pennsylvania. CBS's Lilia Luciano says Luigi Mangione is isolated.
He is in a cell by himself, that he is not in solitary confinement, but he does not have access to other inmates. He's not communicating with other inmates. He can receive visits.
Mangione's next hearing is scheduled for December 30th. Fire crews have made some progress in their fight to get a large wildfire under control that's burned more than 4,000 acres in Malibu, California. CBS's Carter Evans is there.
The good news is the weather has cooled down quite a bit, and there is not a breath of wind where I am right now. That is really good news for firefighters. It means they can really get a handle on this fire, get a perimeter around it. That is the goal, to contain it.
Hamburg, New York, south of Buffalo, is among the burbs getting buried by snow.
It was terrible. Like, I could barely even see across the street. Like, the houses, they're not that far, and I couldn't even see my neighbors right across the street from me.
Parts of western New York could get 2 feet of snow or more this week. On Wall Street, the Dow and S&P 500 both closed down about 0.5%. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. President Biden today pardoned 39 people and commuted the sentences of 1,500 others. Here's White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
The president has issued more sentence commutations at this point in his presidency than any of his recent predecessors at the same point in their first terms.
The U.S. government is working to bring 29-year-old Travis Timmerman home from Syria. He says he was freed from a prison earlier this week. His pastor in his Missouri hometown, Don Kelderhouse.
All the people at church that I've talked to, just thrilled that he's still safe. And we just count it as a miracle from God.
Legendary New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick has signed a 5-year deal to coach the North Carolina Tar Heels. He says it's long been a passion of his to coach on the collegiate level.
It's great to come back home to Carolina and back in an environment that I really grew up in.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows of 5 to 10 below, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the upper teens. A chance of rain and snow showers late Friday night into early Saturday. Cloudy, rain Saturday afternoon, high mid-30s, and near 40 Sunday. Right now it's 1.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LaPay.
Welcome into the Greg Gard Show as the Badgers continue this four-game, very, very challenging stretch. One more step to it before they can exhale, albeit briefly, I guess. They've got the game against Butler coming up at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, home of the Indiana Pacers, on Saturday afternoon. Tip time about 1:30. It'll be the second game. Purdue plays Texas A&M in the first game. And then, like I said, a little bit of a break. They'll play again a week from Sunday at the Kohl Center against Detroit Mercy. And then more of a breather. The pretty sizable gap there. And then the Big Ten Conference schedule resumes on January 3rd at home against the Iowa Hawkeyes. On tonight's show, we'll check in with Badger senior Carter Gilmore. We'll also chat with Brian Butch as well. But we visit, as always, first up with the head coach of the Badgers. And this four-game stretch, you can call it a gauntlet, call it whatever. It's just great opportunities, though, right, to learn some things. Obviously, you wanted better results here, but you're still – every team in the country is still learning about itself right now, and just a great chance to grow, I would think, in this stretch for your guys now.
Yeah, I think anytime you put yourself out there, so to speak, and risk getting yourself exposed by playing really good competition and playing 3 out of 4 here on the road. Saturdays will be quasi-neutral. My guess is there's going to be a lot of Butler fans in there. It's not very far from Hinkle to Gainbridge. So,
yeah, for those who don't know, Butler is located in the city of Indianapolis.
We knew this when we were going to put it together, and quite frankly, it's what you want. You have to test yourself. You have to live with some lumps. I follow other programs very closely around the country, and one that kind of caught my eye was Houston. Houston, was ranked fourth in the country to start the year, have lost 3 in a row or had lost three in a row. But it was in the net teams that they played. Actually, our schedule has been harder than theirs. They played some neutral site games, but Kelvin, you leaned into experience, especially when you're going through some adversity. And I listened to his press conferences and he's talking about the exact same things. You have to challenge yourself. You don't worry about these, you want to get better here in November and December. And the way to do that is to, quite frankly, you got to go get beat. You got to play somebody that can beat you and expose some things that you can really focus on and dial in on and work to get ready for the next 3 months of the year.
Is one of the keys too, as a staff or as a program, because two of these three were down to the wire here, Michigan, right, either or, obviously Tuesday night, either or. You could actually make an argument the Marquette game that swung on just a few minutes there in the second half. So you correct things, but don't overreact.
This isn't about panic. Nothing's wrong other than we got to finish out some games. We had leads in all three games in the second half. And we're not playing the Sisters of the Poor either. So you understand who you're playing. We understand all games taught us something different, I think. And there are some common denominators, specifically Marquette and Illinois, with being able to take care of the ball better to a degree, some of the defensive rebounding. Michigan, actually, the defensive numbers proved, even though there were some glaring things, the numbers, when you graded out, we were okay. It was the offensive component of it that wasn't good enough. So I think, like I talked to the team about the other night after the Illinois game, all three of these have taught us different things, and I think it will force us as we go forward to continue to get better, and we'll look forward to getting back on the floor here today and prep for Butler with the lessons learned from the past three games.
You mentioned after that Michigan game, it was the non-rim twos. There were too many of them. Much better against Marquette in that regard. Now, Illinois is a team that really does a great job of forcing opponents into those non-rim twos, but you still feel like you're on a better path over
there. I thought we took some in against Illinois, maybe more than we needed to. Took two or three or four at least that we didn't need to take, and we will see them on film and show where the options were. Illinois they're actually number one in the country in terms of forcing non-rim twos, and we're trying to be in that category too of defensively forcing non-rim twos. But the key is to offensively not taking those when you don't have to. There's going to be times when, yes, you have to. Shot clock, maybe somebody has, John Blackwell has a pretty good pull-up game, mid-range game, but being very judicious, because it's amazing when you watch games, and I've gone through that Illinois game three times, how often than not the non-rim two has bad results. and low net return. The risk isn't worth the reward, so to speak. And you watch other games too. How many teams either A, don't take the non-rim two and how that benefits them over the course of time, or you watch them take non-rim twos and you might make a beautiful pull-up jump shot one out of five times, one out of seven times. But the law of averages are going to weigh out against you over the course of the 40 minutes. And what you're really looking here is how does that play out and map out over the course of a season.
You mentioned that, you know, the turnovers as well. Obviously, Marquette is a team that lives off of that. They do a great job of turning over the opponents. There is the defense. As part of it, though, you guys are playing at a little quicker pace. Mm-hmm. Is that, I mean, it's, I know as a coach you can't accept it, but it is there more possessions, more
Well,
chances.
More possessions you're going to have. The number, we really don't look at the number per se. It's a percentage of your possessions. So by and large, our number on where our possession numbers have been is about 10, and we had 12. So we're two or three. Well, you're in a two-possession game. Two or three can make a difference. And the type of turnover. Those things. We dribbled into areas we have no business going into at times. We went 1-on-3 in transition at one point in the first half. We had no business doing that, and we lost the ball. So those decisions in times of transition, those times of driving gaps when the gaps are loaded, when we don't need to. We have plenty of time on the foot. On the clock, there are other players open, move the ball one more time, get the defense to unload out of the paint, let's change sides of the floor. Usually when we get ourselves in trouble, Matt, with that is we haven't changed sides of the floor, the defense is really loaded, there's extra hands in the gap, and we have to be able to move the defense two or three more times. Then those gaps will become much wider, there won't be a held presence, and we won't have the, as I call them, the octopus, when you have eight arms in yeah. stripping the dribble, we won't have that as much, and we got to continue to learn to be better at that.
Well, there's certainly some individual performances that were really encouraging, or have been, you know, early this season. Let's go back to Tuesday night, though. Nolan Winter, he really dialed it up there in the second half. His minutes have pretty much doubled from a year ago. His career is getting rolling now as a sophomore. But fans are getting, this guy could be really good here.
He's really talented. You know, at 7 feet and can move like he can. I mean, you see back-to-back possessions, bangs a three, and then shot fakes and drives a closeout to a reverse layup. At 7 feet, you know how hard that is to be that agile and that mobile, to be able to do that and look like he's been doing it for 10 years? You know, it's just he's just scratching the surface and where he can be. He's got to be better as a rim protector, which he can be, and be more forceful in there. Part of that's the strength and the weight. Part of that's just the mentality to go block some shots, because as a rim protector, he's the best we have, and I think will be a good shot blocker in time. Right now, he doesn't have confidence in doing it all the time. So, you know, I like how he's progressing. Obviously, I always see the things that he's got to get better at. Part of it we're not going to fix today, because it's going to be a lot of calories and a lot of time in the weight room over the next the rest of his career. But he definitely has what you want, you know, and we have NBA scouts around us all the time. They're always taking a look. They can see what we see, the potential to be where the game is right now, size, skill, shooting. He has all those.
And another guy whose career is just starting, a redshirt freshman, Jack Janicki. You mentioned that you can only play five at a time, and games are 40 minutes long, but you've mentioned this before. He has really earned the trust of everybody, teammates, you guys as coaches. He just knows how to play.
He does. You know, it's very rarely is he out of position, wrong place, wrong time. It's usually right place, right time. He's way more athletic than people give him credit for. His hand-eye coordination is really good. His feet are really good. His anticipation level, his toughness. You know, he made some plays defensively on rotations and raking the ball loose. And the other night, he exchanged ball screens really fast and really efficiently. You know, and he's just the couple plays he made. He had three assists in a matter of about 3 minutes. You know, he just makes right play, right time, drove to the paint, played off 2 feet, dropped it to Crowell for a layup, banged a three there off a loose ball, kind of a scramble play. So, yeah, it's my job to find more minutes for him on the floor. That's a good problem that I have to try to solve and get him out there more.
Yeah, the thing about him is I think fans realize it too, the Arizona game, dude has no fear. If he's there, just he will let it fly. There are some others who are really making a really favorable impression here early this season. We'll talk about him as we continue with the Greg Gard Show in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Save big money on your next project at Menards. Insulate your home and start saving on energy costs with Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels. They're moisture resistant and rugged enough to be used anywhere, even underground. They're available in many different sizes and thicknesses to fit any project. Get a 2x2 project panel today for only $4.99. Sale price good through December 15th. Plus, check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, Badger fans. Basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. We'll get Brian Butch's thoughts on the season to date, the neutral site game coming up against Butler on Saturday. And also in a few minutes, we'll check in with senior Carter Gilmore. We'll hear from Gilly shortly, but I wanted to ask you about him too, because he's someone that, you know, helped stabilize things in the first half. He's just, you've talked about his defense. He's got a kind of a funny little story to tell there. I didn't know if he could, he didn't know if he would hear a lot about his defensive prowess a few years ago. And obviously that's been a big part of it now. Someone who absolutely knows his role and just as important, if not more so, is embracing it.
Oh, he's been everything we could ask in terms of the role that he needed to fill for us. That we could ever, like I said, we could ever ask for. He's done exactly, for the most part. It's not been perfect, and nobody has, and never, nobody ever will be. But in terms of what we need him to do and the amount of minutes that he's able to consume, he's done. He's covered up things defensively, as you mentioned. He's been good in terms of the defensive rebounding. He's gotten extra possessions for us on the glass. He plays with a physicality. He's made good decisions offensively. He's taken the shots when he should take them. He's turned down shots when he should turn him down. He's made plays off the dribble. I like I said, I couldn't be happier. He may have played his best game at Marquette in terms of his career, in terms of just the efficiency and how he, if you really study the game and watch how he impacts it in so many ways. And he did a lot of the same things Tuesday night at Illinois. So I really like where he's at right now. He's helping us in a lot of ways, and it's our job to continue to help our other guys do whatever their role is, do it better, because Gilly is doing his role really, really well right now.
He was one of those guys, and it's not uncommon in major college basketball or college basketball period, a guy who comes into the program. He was a prolific scorer in high school, you know, set the school record for points. Okay, a lot of guys fit that mold, but then you got to be a little bit something else here. And it's easy to, for people like me to talk about it, but there is an adjustment period for any athlete to go through that. Say, oh, I'm surrounded by a lot of guys who probably have records at their own schools, right?
Yeah, they all do. Yeah. Quite frankly, probably every single one of them has a record of some sort at their school. And that's the ability and the willingness to be a star in your role and embrace. You mentioned embracing the role. Not everybody embraces the role. Some people fight that and don't want to do it. And then they never reach what their potential could be because they're trying to be somebody that they can't be. Specifically as you climb the ladder. Look at how many good college players are really role players in the NBA, right? For stars sure. That just stand in the corner and shoot threes, but they get paid millions of dollars just to stand in the corner. Don't do what they did in college, right? Not playing off the ball or making eight gazillion plays with the ball in their hands. They figure out a role. And just like at this level, there's going to be guys that we're going to have our stars. We're going to have our marquee guys. But those other pieces around it are equally, if not more important, because they have a role to fill, but they have to really embrace the role. And Gilly has really done that.
It's interesting you say about the NBA, because I remember Dick Bennett, we talked about this years ago. Illinois has Kerry Booth, Calvin's son. And I remember Dick Bennett specifically saying, well, Calvin Booth can block a lot of shots. If you do one thing really well, you can make a truckload of money. And as much as the game might be changing, that part maybe has not, right?
Absolutely. They pay role players a lot of money.
Yes.
You know, and we're in that world right now, right? Whether it's Europe, whether it's the NBA, we had a former player of ours, John Luer, never averaged more than 8 points a game in the NBA. His last contract was $44 million. never averaged more than eight. He found a role. He was really good in his role, regardless of where he was. If it wasn't for injury, he's probably still playing. But he found it. He embraced it. He didn't try to fight it. And he's got a lifelong nest egg that he can look at because he did what he should do. And that's that's one great story of thousands that we use all the time when you really understand Greg Steensma. We got one on our staff that did it. That's as a pro made a lot of money by being able to block shots and be kind of the ogre, so to speak, inside the enforcer, and didn't get a lot of headlines, but the checks continued to cash.
Being a smart dude, being a good teammate, yep. And understanding, okay, this works. I could do this. It makes
Kevin Garnett's
sense.
Backup guy, right? He's his bodyguard. Somebody fouls him hard, go take care of it.
But it's amazing too. We talked with Greg, you know, when you brought him back on the staff, and just the little nuances, he has the story about where, you know, Garnett just, you know, move this just a little bit, just your footwork, just the littlest things can make a ton of difference.
It's huge. That's what doesn't get everybody has talent, and it's a matter of how you continue to work with the talent and fine-tune the talent and refine the talent. Sometimes you got to change. We'll talk about another one of my staff, Kirk Penny, who had to completely revamp his game as a pro because the game changed and because they weren't going to use him as a runaround off the screen shooter. So you have to change your game as the game, you know, changes, as we've talked about. You know, he was able to do it and play a long time too, and not stay how you were when you played in college, but revamp and refine your game and add pieces to your game. And that's what it is right now. You have to embrace change, run to change, be willing to accept change. And our players have done a good job of getting better and embracing all these things we talk about.
And those guys you mentioned with Greg, with Steensma, with Luer, with Penny, the greatest guys in the world. You shoot the bull with, laid back, you get them on the court, they'll tear your head off.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the ultra-competitive nature.
Being a competitor is number one on that list of requirements.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get into the Butler Bulldogs as you get to renew acquaintances with Thad Matta, who's in his third year. He actually coached there 1 year in 2000-2001. Obviously, had a great run at Ohio State, but now back at Butler.
Yeah.
The alma mater. What if you would categorize his teams, like every teams have identities. I don't know if that's an overused term, but when you think of Thad Matta teams, what comes to mind?
You know, I really compare his career, and if you really boil back numbers, now the head coaching tenure maybe hasn't been as long, but if you look at numbers, they're very similar to Coach Ryan's winning percentage. And, you know, we played against him when he was at Butler, when we were at Milwaukee. His 1 year was our first year at Milwaukee. And other than the times at Ohio State where maybe he had Odin and Conley, and he had some stars, right? He had some surefire NBA players. And you watch his teams now at Butler, just solid, tough, fundamental, nothing flashy, but get the job done. And that's how his teams were at Butler, how his teams were at Xavier. Now he had David West at Xavier, which was obviously ended up being an NBA player, and some other really good players. But the fabric of what he has done for the most part through his career has been very fundamental, very sound. Some call it monotonous. I call it not making a lot of mistakes. And I watch his team right now, and it reminds me of his young earlier Butler teams, his really solid Ohio State teams. And obviously when you have stars, you let stars be stars. But the foundation of what he's been about shows pretty clear.
Yeah, he brought a Butler team in here the year he was down there when Coach Soderberg took over for Dick Bennett. And Butler won that game. And,
right.
And they'd make it a work with transfers.
Yeah.
The McCaffreys. And Patrick McCaffrey has really found his shooting touch, other guys as well. This one had to come about quickly, though, right? That helped.
This is part of an event, whether the Indy Classic or whatever. It's in replacement of us going to the return game for Stanford that was going to be in San Francisco from the AmFam Field game. Event organizer is the same, so we're able to shift and see a really good opponent, obviously in an arena that we'd like to be in because the Big Ten tournament is there, not this year, but will be there next year, so our players will see that. Every once in a while, you get an NCAA regional there. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of benefits of it, along with it being closer for our fans and a better quality opponent than what we were going to see at this point in Stanford.
All right, we'll look forward to it. The Badgers and the Butler Bulldogs, again, the tip time will be about 1:30, give or take, as you got Purdue and Texas A&M in the first game there on Saturday afternoon. So a good college basketball doubleheader for fans to settle in and watch this weekend. We'll take a break. When we continue, we'll hear from Carter Gilmore as the Greg Garden Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have state updates today, including North Carolina's Supreme Court race and a power grab by its legislature, ranked choice voting in Alaska, and more charges in Wisconsin for Donald Trump's fake elector scheme advisors. We reported December 11th that a GOP state Supreme Court candidate who lost by 734 votes and failed in two recounts asked the North Carolina Election Board to invalidate 60,000 voters. North Carolina Newsline reports that in a 3-2 vote Wednesday, the board rejected that request, though a court appeal is likely. Also December 11th, the North Carolina legislature overrode Governor Roy Cooper's veto of a bill designed to strip power from the incoming Democratic governor and attorney general. In an attempt to retain GOP power before it loses its supermajority, the authority to appoint election board members was shifted to the state auditor, a Republican. The attorney general was also stripped of any ability to bring suit against legislation proposed by the legislature. In Alaska, a recount of the attempted repeal of ranked choice voting and open primaries is complete. The repeal failed by 0.25%. In Wisconsin, 10 additional felony forgery charges were brought against Trump campaign advisors, attorney Jim Trupas, attorney Kenneth Chesbro, and Election Day director Mike Roman. We have links to more on all of these stories at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, It's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
And its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show in a few minutes. We'll chat with my broadcast partner and former Badgers star, Ryan Butch, about the upcoming game at Gainbridge Fieldhouse Saturday afternoon against the Butler Bulldogs, and then a little gap in the schedule. They'll play again a week from Sunday against Detroit Mercy at the Kohl Center, and then we'll not have another game until January 3rd. At the Kohl Center against the Iowa Hawkeyes as they will jump back into Big Ten play for the remainder of the season. We'll get Butchie's thoughts on that coming up in a few, but right now we check in with senior Carter Gilmore out of Heartland, Wisconsin, who's really been playing well for Wisconsin. His contributions go beyond the statistics, but his stats have certainly been beneficial the last couple of ball games. Against Marquette last Saturday, he had 5 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. Had 7 points on Tuesday night against Illinois and really helped stabilize things. The Badgers were getting into some first-half foul issues with Max Klesman, John Blackwell, and to Stephen Crowell. You know, but Gilly hit a three, did some good work inside, and continues to do everything he can at both ends of the floor. His defensive work has really ramped up throughout his college career. And one thing that should help Wisconsin get through this rough patch is the chemistry on this team. Even with the 7 newcomers, the 3 transfers and the 4 freshmen, Gilly talks about how this group really seems to have clicked, and there's a whole lot of credit that goes into that.
I think it starts with the coaches. Just they emphasize and really pride themselves on bringing in good recruits, but even better people. And I think that's the Wisconsin way, and some that we found work well here. And it started from day one when these guys got in here. They're all open to questions, looking to the older guys for figuring out ways to get on the court, how they can be better. And when you just see new guys come in and be open and be open to a suggestion and then come in the next day and work hard on it, it makes it easy to be good teammates and be good friends with them. And just the activities we do off the court made it super easy to become good teammates and good friends with these guys as well.
Well, you mentioned from the coaches, but you guys like you, Stephen Crowell, Max, Kamori McGee, Ed, you take a lot of pride in that because the chemistry does matter, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, everybody doesn't have to be the best of friends, but you still need to get along and on the court as well as off the court. Is that something that you guys all take a lot of pride in, making sure? You might have guys from coming in from, if it's, you know, Missouri or Central Arkansas, Northern Illinois. This is how things are done here at Wisconsin.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's more of an importance now more than ever, especially with the transfer portal and the new age that sports is trending in. And I think us older guys really kind of knew that coming in and knew that was going to be an important part, that especially now when you have losses or playing time isn't going everyone's way that they want, to keep everyone on the same page, same train moving forward. And you can't have 5 guys on the train and 1 guy going doing their own thing. And I think when you build a chemistry chemistry and a bond with one another, and something that's bigger than yourself. It's easy as a teammate when it's not going your way, because you know, you can come in here and help a teammate out, and your teammate will help you out, vice versa. So I think that's something we've prided ourselves on, and something that I think is going to be key for us going forward for sure.
It's interesting when you say that, because you watch some games where guys who may not see the floor at all, but they're really fired up when someone on the floor gets a key bucket. So it could be somebody who gets no minutes at all, seems to be just as happy with the result when it's a winning result, mm-hmm. as anybody. That, again, that doesn't always happen, but it's pretty cool when it does that. It usually happens here, but it doesn't happen across the board. But that, again, that's just part of the culture here, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the Wisconsin way that we all pride ourselves on. And I think when you can keep a core guys around here that know that that's what we pride ourselves on. And I think the coaches do a good job of really emphasizing the importance of a team. The team. That's what Coach Guard likes to say. So, I think when you can keep a core guys around and guys that already have some chemistry and a fit together, it can kind of set the example and be role models for the younger guys and give them credit, like you said. And it could be the last guy on the bench. He's going to be cheering just as much as the guys on the court. And I like seeing my guy Jack Robinson or some of those guys going in there and make a shot. And we're all super happy for them as well. So
everybody was pretty happy when Ricardo Greppi got a couple free throws the other day. So everybody remembers the first. Remember your first?
Yeah, I believe it was against Green Bay. I hit a little step back. I don't know if that shot would fly anymore, but I hit a turnaround. I think a little turnaround. So it was a good first shot.
Isn't it amazing now it's interesting you say that, how the game, you know, a lot of things have changed over the last few years, obviously in college basketball, but like the mid-range game now that used to be kind of a thing. Not so much. I mean, in your career here, has, without getting, you know, giving away state secrets, it has changed, though. What's important, what's valued in terms of shot selection and all of that type of thing?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, Wisconsin's always kind of prided itself of getting good shots, getting the ball inside, utilizing the post. And while we still do want to do all that stuff, the coaches have done a great job analyzing the analytics, seeing kind of where the game is trending towards. And that's something I've given the coaches an immense amount of credit for. I know it's not always easy when something's worked so well, so long here regarding the basketball program. We've been really successful, and it's easy to just kind of get complacent and stay with that and maybe tweak little things here or there. But this year I've seen the coaches just done an amazing job bringing in the new coaching staff, player development, and Greg Steensma. And really just getting the threes and at the rim buckets. And I think they've done an amazing job emphasizing that with us and us players taking that and running with it.
And no question that the coaches, all of you guys on the defensive end, you want to continue to get better and better. Now, Coach Guard has really offered up a lot of praise about you specifically, about your ability to defend in the low post. It got me thinking, I mean, you're set the high school record, right? How good of a defender were you then, maybe better put, how good of a defender were you when you walked on campus now, when you walked on campus initially to where you are now?
Yeah, I think if you asked all my coaches before I got here, I don't think they would have even thought about defense before this. So I played some defense, and I think my senior year in high school, I kind of took a step up knowing that if I was going to go and take that next step, I had to become a better defender. But before I got here, I was pretty much thinking about scoring and finding my teammates for an open basket. And if the other team scored, how fast could I get the ball out of the net and get it up the court? But here I've just kind of had to find my role and whatever way I could get on the court. And it started off just being a good defender and making the right play.
Has part of that been obviously just, you know, an understanding of what they want defensively, but physically, you know, just being able to get stronger each and every year with Jim Snyder in the weight room? That's been a big part of it for you as well, would you say?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the amount of time I spent in Schneid's weight room and with him here in my 5 years has helped me make tremendous strides. And I can't give him enough credit, and especially with the new weight room we have. Makes it even a little easier and nicer to go in the weight room for sure. But I think that's the biggest thing that has helped me evolve in my game is just the work that I've done with Coach Knides and just how much time he really puts in and individualizes it for me so that I can guard the five, guard the three, and do stuff like that. He's done a very good job, and all the credit goes to him.
It's pretty sweet weight room. You even have windows now, right? You can look outside. You're not a dungeon.
That's the best part. I mean, even in the winter, we still had some sunlight shining through, and I was soaking that in for sure today. I had to tell Schneiz that the windows were a super nice addition. So
as we talk, it's really early in the season, but you've been here a while. Has it flown? I mean, you've been a part of the Big Ten Championship. You've been in the NCAA tournament. As we say, hopefully the best is yet to come, but does it? Sometimes the days can get long, but have the years, as they say, kind of flown as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can have all these cliches you want, and you can hear them all you want, and the time goes by fast, and now sitting here in my last year, you look back, and it's crazy how fast the time's gone, and in my beginning years, I don't think the days could go by soon enough. Guarding Tyler Wall all those days, Micah, and those were some long days for me, and, you know, you'd question if you could do this for 5 years and getting all banging in the post against those guys. But here in my last year, it's been nothing but joy, and really trying to soak in every minute. But it seems like it's flying by faster than I can keep up. But just super grateful and trying to soak in every moment.
As busy as you guys are, can you still stay in touch with Tyler, Micah, and some of those other guys, Nate, all those guys here before you?
Yeah, for sure. I know me and Tyler were just staying in touch, obviously, throughout the time. He's over in Croatia now. But then especially the guys on the previous teams, Chucky, AJ, stayed in touch with them, Isaac Lindsay, Lou Kirtle. I mean, I think that's the thing I'll take away from Wisconsin the most. It's the people that I've met, the teammates that I've had. And like I said, the coaches do a tremendous job of bringing in teammates that will be lifelong friends, and I'm super grateful for that.
That's Badgers senior Carter Gilmore. We'll take a break when we continue. We'll visit with Brian Butch as the Greg Gard Show continues right after this on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hey, Badger fans, basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance. From the volleyball court to the hockey rink, every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Wisconsin fans, it's Matza Matt for Brew Pub. Lots of matza pizza. Badger games are intense, high energy, and an experience like no other. Games like that need a high quality, go all four quarters frozen pizza, and you'll find that in a Brew Pub Lots of Matza pizza. Loaded with the best meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, it's a top-tier pizza proud to support a top-tier program. So the next time you're visiting your favorite local grocery store and you're in the frozen pizza section, look for the pizza loaded with cheese. A Brew Pub Lots of Matza pizza.
Hi, Mark and Sarah Tauscher here. We are teaming up with American Family Insurance for yet another season of giving.
Together, we're raising funds for American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. Every dollar goes towards purchasing therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients.
This year, American Family Insurance is matching all donations up to $50,000. So help us support this critical program for children and their families.
Let's gift joy, lift spirits, and deliver happiness.
Learn more at amfamforkids.org.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show, joined now by my broadcast partner, Brian Butch, his remaining days of being in the 30s. We'll get to that, though. We'll get to that in due time. This four-game stretch that they're in, we talked about it going in, Brian. These guys, obviously, coming off the Illinois game, now they're going to head down to Indy to play Butler. Every game has a purpose, but this stretch does. You learn some things after Michigan, Marquette, Illinois, and Butler that you hope you can build from and get the kind of season that you want to have.
Yeah, when I played, we would always have Marquette, and then we wouldn't have any Big Ten games, but there was always a focus on making sure there were some high-quality games in there as that first test of what you needed to do and how you needed to approach it, the things you needed to adjust. You learned some of that through the non-conference play as far as mid-majors, but you really learn it when you put yourself against other high-major teams, and that's exactly what this group has done, and they've learned some good things. They've learned some things they need to improve on the offensive end against Michigan. They've learned some things on the defensive end against Marquette. So now can they take that information and now put that into Big Ten play?
As a player, would you have strong feelings one way or the other about two conference games in December, then a gap, and then it picks up again in early January?
I never played in it, but I always liked knowing that when we were done with non-conference, every game mattered. And not that it doesn't matter, but you get the break, and then it's different. I would have liked to just keep it all and not have the two games in, because now if you go and you struggle early on and you haven't found yourself out quite, you drop one, you split them, whatever it might be, or you drop two, or you win, like, that puts you at a disadvantage for trying to win the title. And that's what you're playing for. You're playing for a Big Ten title, and that's the goal every single year. So I think that's frustrating. That being said, everybody has to do it. This isn't, it's not like one team has to do it and the other teams don't have to do it. No. So it's another game. You know what it is. I just think the style of the Big Ten is a little bit different than some of those other high major teams as well. So if you go out and play a West Coast team, it's different than coming back and playing the Big Ten. Big Ten's a little bit more physical. You got to make sure that all of your errors are fixed quickly, because the coach in the Big Ten is elite. I mean, it's the best coach that is around in all of the country.
This has been interesting these last three games, where Michigan, Marquette, and Illinois all do it a little bit differently, too. And those are the kind of things that you would hope, from the Badgers' perspective, will only help them moving forward.
No question. You want to be able to see different styles of play, not only for the Big Ten, but also for the NCAA tournament. You want to have that in, because you need to see the areas that you struggle at. Because when you evaluate at the end of the game and you evaluate and you watch the film and talk about it, this is the area where we need to get better. This is the area that we have to make sure that we clean up, or this is the area we do really well. So in crunch time, we got to get to this action, whether it's a side pick and roll, whether it's a high pick and roll, whether it's a post action, whatever it might be. You've done that against high competition. Now you know that's what you got to get to. Late game, crunch time of a game, this is what we want to get to.
Up next, they've got the trip down to Indianapolis, home of the Pacers, to play Butler. When you're in college, playing an NBA arena, did that mean something to you?
That was awesome. I mean, it really is. Cool environment. And this is why you come to Wisconsin. You get opportunities like this, and I think Greg and staff have done a great job of creating unique opportunities for kids. Normally, when we played in NBA arenas, it was Big Ten tournament. It was NCAA tournament. So it was already elevated as far as what the stage was. Now, especially some of the younger guys, some of the guys that haven't done this, it's a little bit of it's a one-game situation. We get to play in an NBA arena against a really good team in Butler, a Big East team. Let's have ourselves a game. Let's have some fun doing this, because that's what everybody, in the end, you can talk NIL, you can talk all that stuff. In the end, it's still kids just trying to reach their dream of getting to the NBA. And this is, you get to feel that. You get to feel like an NBA player a little bit.
What did you remember most about Thad Matta coached Ohio State teams that you went up against?
Well, they were extremely tough. They had a whole bunch of talent. Offensively, they always ran great stuff, whether it was with Conley or whether it was with Odin going to the rim. Ivan Harris, they had a three-point shooter that was raised the floor a little bit that they put at the four. So it was mismatch. And then, obviously, I remember remember dislocating my elbow. But we won't go down that road too much. But the reason that happened is because I didn't start that game. And don't ask Bo about that, because Bo would have said it the other way. I should have started you, but I didn't start because Ivan Harris was in the game as a stretch, and you didn't know exactly how to play that. So he wanted to start Joe. And so I just remember him and Thad always making sure to try to be ahead of the curve as far as what things were going on. But they were always disciplined, always took care of the basketball, always did things at an elite level.
How come we always talk about that game, as opposed to the following year when Brian Butch of the Badgers left Value City Arena with a W?
Yeah, that was a pretty good win. That was a good one. That was a good one. So, there's so many things, though, but what they did in that program and how he built it up, I mean, that's where they're at now because of what Thad has done. And then he takes some time off, and now he's got Butler going. I mean, this team is a team that, you know, drops a non-conference against a mid-major team, and now they've been hot. Now they lost a tough one against Houston as well, but they're playing some really good basketball.
With a little Iowa connection on the staff, Connor McCaffrey is an assistant coach. Patrick has been shooting the three well. They've got another one coming in, Jack McCaffrey. So they don't go away, do they?
No, they don't. They don't go away. But it's going to be a great game on Saturday. Yeah, looking forward to it.
And it's an interesting little gap here in the schedule. They've got, obviously, the Butler game, and then they'll play again on the 22nd, a Sunday, against Detroit Mercy. Mark Montgomery, the head coach over there, the former Michigan State Spartan and a longtime staffer with Tom Izzo, a stint as a head coach at Northern Illinois a few years back. But then after the 22nd, they don't play again until January 3rd. That's a gap that you never experienced, did you?
No. We had practice Christmas Eve. We had practice Christmas Day, and then we
Santa Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, Santa Bowl. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we quite called him Santa Bowl that year, but there's another.
Called him a lot of things.
Yeah, called him a lot of things. It wasn't that. But I think for this group, it's so good because as a player, what is the reason that this team has had success, and the reason that Greg has had success is it's been based on relationships. And understanding what his players need, what his players want. Mental health, we've talked a lot about. But these guys will be able to get home. They'll be able to reset. They'll be able to understand what they need to do as a group. And then they'll come back and they'll have time to prep. And they'll have time to get ready for what is going to be an extremely long Big Ten season. And I think just that rest that they have mentally and physically can only help you. I remember being in that locker room on that Christmas Eve practice and then going back to my dorm and then waking up and practicing Christmas Day, the morale was not high. Now, we did it because that's what you do. When the schedule says you do it, that's what you do. But the morale wasn't high. And it took us a couple weeks to kind of get back to say, hey, what are we doing? How are we? Like, that's what this group will avoid. They'll get home. They'll get away. They'll take care of everything they need to take care of. And they'll come back with a mind that's sharp and ready. Because on top of it, they don't have school.
Yeah.
So now it's basketball all the time. Versus when we did it, not only did we play over the holiday, then we didn't have school. So it was basketball, basketball, basketball. And there wasn't that break. Yeah. And I think this group, more than important. And Greg's done the last couple of years, and it's worked out really well for him.
Yeah, they've talked. You're going to hear the line rest versus rust. But they've got this so well planned out now with Jim Snyder and this, you know, with strength and conditioning. They'll get their work in. Yeah, there'll be a gap between games. It'll be a little bit of a challenge, but all this stuff is so well mapped out now, isn't it?
Well, exactly, and that's the thing, understanding what works. And again, I think part of it just has become the mental side of it that really wasn't talked about a whole lot when I played. So now you get a situation where you can build on it, you understand exactly what you need to do to have your body right, to have your mind right, to go into what is, you know, a long, long Big Ten season. And then you had the West Coast trip. I mean, that you're looking, you know, middle of January for that, and now that's a long trip. That guys are gone for 8-9 days, or I think it might be six days, but yeah. 6 days where they're gone, and that's completely different. That's new this year. That's another wear and tear on the body, where if you can give them rest on the front end of that, that's only going to help as you get going through the Big Ten season.
Yeah, that's when the semester actually coincides with the start of the spring semester, and then when they jump back into Big Ten play too, it's going to be Iowa, then you go to Rutgers, and then here we go, and we're still trying to. We'll visit on this topic on another show. Still trying to figure out who's good, who's really good, and
who's struggling? You got an idea, but it's a little early to tell right now, would you say?
It is. And as soon as you think you've got it figured out, Northwestern beats Illinois. And there's going to be some of that. I think we've got a little bit of a feel, but when you get into conference play every night, if you don't bring it and if you don't bring that energy and you don't bring that mindset, you're not going to win basketball games. I mean, this league is deep. Yeah. This league is deep, and I think, you know, deep with a lot of talent. Yeah. You know, Illinois, Indiana, there are a lot of individual talent on those teams. Can they group them together? Can they find those things out? I think that's still all wait and see.
All right. He's Brian Butch. Stay with us. More to come as we continue with the Greg Gard Show in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year. But do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you-can't-have-just-one-slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you got to stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high-interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Checking out some of the games this weekend involving the Big Ten Conference. You got Indiana on the road in Lincoln taking on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And then on Saturday, again, that first game at the Indy Classic down at Gambridge Fieldhouse, you got Purdue and Texas A&M. That's an 11 o'clock tip. Therefore, the Badgers' approximate tip time with Butler will be at 1:30. Penn State on the home floor against Coppin State. Ohio State squaring off with Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers down in Atlanta. You got UCLA and Arizona. Arizona, non-conference game now. We're used to that being a Pac-12 game. Arizona has scuffled. The Badgers kind of knocked them off the tracks a little bit. The Wildcats have dropped four of their last five. Those two teams playing in Phoenix. You got Rutgers against Seton Hall. And a big one in Champaign. Illinois, of course, coming off their win on Tuesday against the Badgers, will take on the top-ranked team in the country, the Tennessee Volunteers. Again, it's the Badgers and the Bulldogs. Approximate tip time, 1:30. Our coverage will start at 12.
12:30 down in Indianapolis. Charlie Wills will join me for this game coming up on Saturday afternoon. We'll talk to you then on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wisc.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden commutes sentences for 1,500 people and has pardoned 39 people convicted of nonviolent crimes. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
The president has issued more sentence commutations at this point in his presidency than any of his recent predecessors at the same point in their first terms.
Residents and officials want to know who's operating multiple drones near military installations in New Jersey and not far from Yankee Stadium.
They're coming out at night. They reportedly have green, red, and golden lights, and then when many people turn their cameras to go get a photo of them, the drones mysteriously disappear.
CBS's Tom Hansen. The U.S. government says it's working to bring back Missouri native Travis Timmerman from Syria, who was freed from a prison this week after a fall from the Assad regime, is Pastor Don Kettlehouse.
Yeah, he's gone through all this without being tortured and just hoping to hear more good news soon.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.